Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. We've been talking about the new year a little bit, and it truly is hard to believe that we already are in the year 2026. Where does time go? I guess I'm not going to lament the fact of time moving on, because time is a gift from God, and things of God can help us put things into perspective. But what is a good perspective for when we close the year and step into a new one? Some of us may like to reminisce on the past years gone by, or perhaps we'd rather leave it behind and prefer to look forward to a new future, a brighter future. I guess I'm not going to really comment on that part of it a whole lot, but when I asked what is a good perspective when we face a new year, my thoughts were on the blessing of being able to look to the future with hope, because God is in it. All of us could look back at hard things in years gone by, even so in this past year. We also don't know what the future holds. However, we know from scriptures that with God in the center of our lives, that there's always a lot of good happening, no matter how difficult the journey. How many years have gone by, or how many more years we have ahead of us. The important thing is to keep God in the center of our lives always, and no matter what comes our way. The new year is opportunity, but we could have all the resolutions and disciplines in the world and still have very little meaning in life if we don't have God in it. I want to look at some scriptures today with the thoughts of being a good soldier. Maybe you know what scriptures I'm talking about already. But the Apostle Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You may turn to 2 Timothy 2. And we will read those verses soon. Title of the message I have, Enduring for Christ. I considered it being a good soldier. However, we're not only going to be talking about soldiers, probably mostly though. So, enduring for Christ. For those of you who have accepted Christ into your life, was it a surprise to you that as time went on and the Christian life began to feel normal, that it was actually harder than you expected, or harder than you were even told it would be by the seasoned and experienced faithful? It is soldier's work. Now, the truth is, the Christian life is hard, but it is worth it. It really is. We will read about it in these verses today, and there are other scriptures, too, that talk about running the race and so on. You don't win a race without some serious effort. Wars aren't won without dedicated soldiers. This is pretty much a fact of life. Meaningful and valuable things do not come cheap. Tears are shed. Valuable things are worked for, sweated for, and even died for. And I guess that is a good part of the desire that I have for this message, that God would encourage us to put our all into serving Him. We will not be disappointed. No, when we enlist as soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ, we do not know how intense the battles will be, how many there will be, or even how long the battles will be, aside from a lifetime of service. But we are committed. We are loyal to our commander. We are the Lord's army. Let's read 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we step out into the threshold of a new year, there's one thing we can count on. It is always there and available, and it is the most important thing to even begin the Christian walk. Without it, we would have no hope. Verse 1, it is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are lost on our own. We have no hope. The Apostle Paul was encouraging Timothy to grab a hold of the grace of God. The wonder of God's grace is available and unlimited. This is for each one of us. And Paul was telling Timothy how important it was for him. But he was also telling him that God's grace isn't something we keep to ourselves. We tell and we show others what God's grace has done within us, and then it in turn enables others to do the same thing. God's grace will enable, and it will be more than sufficient to enable every single person who takes a hold of it. Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God will not withhold it from sincere seekers. He is ready and waiting to pour it out for those who call on him. This passage talks about a number of different, I'm going to call them occupations, I guess. Talks about the soldier, the competitor, the farmer. From these three examples, we see what we talked about briefly already, that good things take dedication and discipline. Let's think about the soldier a little bit. What makes a good soldier? Some basics. A good soldier knows what he is fighting for. He knows what side he is on. He doesn't back down in the face of fear or suffering. He's committed. Along with knowing what side he is on, he also wants to identify with the army or the country he is a part of. And we could complicate it with spies, secret agents, and so on. But at the end of the day, they are proud to be part of the army or the country they fight for. And in verse 4, it says he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. In all of this, we can take spiritual applications from and apply it to our Christian life. A soldier takes on full-time exercise and training. It becomes a way of life. And not only, but especially so in deployment, the reality becomes very real. A good soldier is all in, ready and willing to die for the cause. No entanglements whatsoever. The competitor. There are other verses we think of when we look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In any competition, whether it's a marathon or fitness test of any kind, we again have individuals who are disciplined and dedicated to the competition, happy to sacrifice comforts, pleasures, and ease for the cause, strict diet and exercise. They're happy to take some of those things out of their life, as they don't want anything to hinder what they're striving for. They want things in their life that build up their strength and stamina. Winning the prize is of utmost importance. Those who are only half-hearted stand no chance, because when the goal is to win, there are no corners to cut and no easy roads to take. Rules are followed carefully so that they are qualified and confident for the strenuous match. For the farmer, or the term it uses here is the husbandman. The farmer understands that in order for there to be any kind of bountiful harvest, there must first be planting, weeding, pruning, watering, and so on. The effort is put forth knowing the harvest will come. That is the reward of a farmer. It's a promise that God says will always be as long as the earth still stands, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, and so on. We know in all reality that there are natural causes outside of the control of man that will affect whether there is a bountiful harvest or not. But generally speaking, we know that is how it works. We will reap what we sow. That is a rule of life that we often choose to ignore or attempt to lessen when we face temptation and choose to sin. Somehow we think this time is different. But no, we reap what we sow. Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Apostle Paul goes on now to tell Timothy to consider these things, apply them to the life of a believer. Jesus Christ, the one who made all of this possible, the freedom in him is the very reason we serve. The sufferings, the misunderstandings, and the bonds, so to speak, are so intense sometimes that it's tempting to feel its bondage. But the word of God is not bound. It brings freedom. The Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. Wasn't this very letter, 2 Timothy, written by Paul from a prison cell? Also, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28. This is Paul speaking about his life, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul's choice to follow Christ definitely did not bring about an easy road. Perhaps we think our Christian lives are such a struggle. We shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves, I suppose, but let's also not forget the grace that God gives to each one of us according to our need. We have freedoms today in regards to freely serving God without fear of death that the Apostle Paul did not have. But the deceptions and pressures of evil, I would like to say, affect us differently than it did the Apostle Paul in his day. The point is, it doesn't matter what we face. God's grace will bring us through. And do we really understand what being a soldier of Christ really is? Or are we just soft? Have we really counted the cost? Or are we turning down the greater commitments and disciplines simply because they are too hard? In addition to enduring for the cause of Christ, the Apostle Paul also endured so that others could understand and know salvation. Verse 10, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yes, Paul was one of the first leaders of the church and tremendously influential to the work of the church, but we today also are influential to the cause of Christ. We are a part of the body of Christ. If we aren't, we indeed can be. Endure for the cause of Christ, and so that others too can obtain salvation. We talk about oxymorons sometimes, or opposites, seemingly contradictory points, such as dying to live and so on. It mentions that in verse 11. It mentions that very point. Dead with him, to be alive with him. In verse 12, suffer with him, to reign with him. The good things of God never come without a cost to our self-will. The life in Christ comes with death to sin and self. But verse 12 also gravely reminds us that if we deny him, we will receive the same. He will deny us. Matthew 10:33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. But we know and understand from the scriptures that God is unchanging and that there are no compromises with sin, that we must repent and be born again. We are encouraged throughout scripture, and we see that in verse 13 as well, that God is faithful. He understands our human weaknesses and will faithfully keep convicting and working on bringing our hard hearts to him. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-inch sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A soldier of Jesus Christ, what does that mean for you? What does it mean for me? Are we committed? Soldiers go to battle, but what is our battle specifically? We are battling for the cause of Christ, but sometimes we forget what all that entails. The rest of this passage, I believe, shows us some of our battlegrounds, practical points of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We as soldiers of Christ must have a common goal. That obviously is to be part of the kingdom of God and build the kingdom of God, fighting for his kingdom. Now, these scriptures would tell us that it's easy to lose focus. We must remember it's not any of our personal agendas that we are fighting for. This is true in the body of believers and also in witnessing to the lost. If our focus isn't on the things of God, our words and actions are of no profit. In fact, it is worse than that. It says it leads to the subverting of the hearers. And mind you, if we are subverting the hearers, what does that say about us? Subverting the hearers has the idea of leading astray, confusing minds, and undermining faith. Verse 23 brings us out as well, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You see, if we get into pointless arguments and strife rather than the doctrines of God that can't be argued, then we start to undermine the real doctrines of God. Don't lose focus. Keep the word of God as the core of our words and the core of our life. And that is done by making it a part of our life. We all say that God's word and God is part of a life. But compare that with the soldier and the runner. Would you say that God's word has the utmost priority in your life? There's more to it than just reading a few verses here and there. It's taking it with us throughout the day. Prayer and meditation as we live our daily lives. God speaks through his word. Right, so the more we open up God's word and fill our mind and thoughts with God's word, the more he will speak to us. Maybe this isn't a fair question because we all know that we will not understand everything fully about God's word in this life. It's a continual growth in understanding. But how well do you understand scripture? How well do I understand scripture? We can't expect to have a deep and powerful understanding of God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth, without knowing what it is. It takes serious reading and studying of God's word. A soldier of Jesus Christ focuses on God's word. Disciplined reading and opening ourselves up to God's word is opening ourselves up to God and to a better understanding of him. God does reveal things to us through other means, but those other means revolve around the word of God too. It takes commitment and enduring on our part to hear the voice of God. It is very important that we take God's word as a whole and that we allow it to convict and change us as God sees fit. However, it is possible to be familiar with the Bible and twist things around and to make it fit our beliefs. That is deception and profanity. It specifically names Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who twisted scripture and deceived others, led people astray. And we likely have seen the deception and confusion of this in our short lives already, too. However, as shaky and confusing as some of these things can be, if we come back to the scripture, we can find stability and understanding. God knows real sincerity and will show us the true meaning of his word. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Sincere readers, sincere believers, soldiers of Christ, God knows you. You also will do as God's word says. Set apart for God. Removed from iniquity. A reflection of God's word. No contradictions. These next scriptures use the illustration of vessels. Vessels of gold and silver. And also vessels of wood and earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. We all are vessels used of God, you could say. But how we present our vessel before God is going to show how sincere we really are, how dedicated we really are. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Purge yourselves from the ways of the world. Set apart vessels, fleeing youthful lusts. And we may ask the question, why does it say youthful lust? Aren't lusts simply sexual sins, greed, pride, or worldly pleasure? Why isolate it to youthful? I'm not sure if I get the full meaning of this, but youthfulness definitely is a time of more intense struggles and decisions and choices. It's a threshold. But we know also that those temptations can be very real throughout all of life. In all reality, though, those things for the believer ought to be things of the past, things we have gained victory in. We ought to be maturing in Christ and putting away the youthful things. As we mature in Christ and call on God out of a pure heart, we follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Let's look at those 4 points. Follow righteousness. Does this mean we will never fail? No, it does not. But as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we know what righteousness is. And when we do fail, we get up. We do what it takes to walk in righteousness again. Open our hearts to God's word, as we talked about earlier, and along with that, open our hearts to the people of God. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Follow faith. There are many things in life that we do not fully understand. We talked about faith a bit in Sunday school. Maybe we have no idea why God asks us to walk where we are walking. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Take God's word by faith, and let that be our sight. Look at all the faithful in the past. Hebrews tells us of many faithful. Faithful soldiers, you could say. Did any of them fully comprehend the power of their faith? Or how far-reaching it would be? To us, when we look at Noah or Abraham, it seems that they took a huge step of faith. But we know full well that they were human too. They took one step at a time, enduring for Christ. I don't intend to undermine their steps of faith in any way, but I do believe that our faith can be just as meaningful and powerful. We make choices. We take steps that influence the outcome of next year for us, or this year. We take steps that influence our life and the lives of generations to come, if the Lord tarries. Faith takes a step so that God can use us in powerful ways. Follow charity. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest of these is charity. Charity never faileth. And then verses 4 through 7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Truly a mark of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Without charity, all things will fail. Follow peace. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peace is a gift from God and a trait of the people of God. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So follow faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We not only each do this individually, but collectively. If we are enduring for Christ, we are also a servant. A good soldier is not going to face battle with only his good in mind. Soldiers work together. They watch each other's backs and they go in as a team. What happens if a soldier goes rogue and decides that he's got it on his own? He does not stand much chance, does he? He really is opposing himself, as it talks about in verses 25 and 26. And meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Taken captive by the snare of the devil. There are at least 2 points here for us. While we are a part of the kingdom of God, or desire to be a part of the kingdom of God, we must remember that it is really more about what we do for the glory of God and for the furtherance of his kingdom than it is about us and about what we can get out of it. Although there is joy and fulfillment for us in serving God, God sees to that. But we are servants, enduring servants. The second point, and already referred to, is a heart for others. That is a servant attitude. That others could find the true meaning of being a part of the body of Christ. We must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Enduring for Christ is going to be also enduring for others. Endure. Have you ever had those moments that just seem like an eternity, that we will never get finished? Maybe we don't feel that in the same way as we did when we were a child, because we understand life better. Those things that seem endless to us. In the heat of the battles today, we do have those moments, at least to a degree. Those moments of, is it truly worth it? As we endure, remember the reasons we are doing what we are doing. How does the soldier face the battle? How does the runner prepare for the marathon? How does the farmer prepare for the harvest? As we embark on another year with God, yes, it is another year of endurance, perhaps, but it is also another year of hope, because we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, now know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Romans 13, verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Ending with those three scriptures, in light of eternity, enduring is as nothing, far more exceeding precious promises and eternal glory awaits us. The same God that we serve and that also enabled all the faithful before us, he will enable us and provide the grace to be more than conquerors. And finally, we are closer than ever before. Maybe, just maybe, 2026 is the year that we've been waiting for. It could be the year of his return. It could be our personal moment. God knows. And whether it is simply another year of God's grace for us, let's take a hold of God's grace. Fight like a soldier. Run to win. And cultivate for harvest. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the hope that you have given us and the strength to keep on serving you. Pray that you would be with us this year and the days ahead. Help us to take a moment at a time, but also with the eternal perspective. Pray that you would give us strength for each day. Pray for those who are sick and suffering, those who are traveling still, and also, Lord, for those who are struggling You know each of our hearts. You know we each have our personal struggles, and some are greater than others at different times, but you just give us all grace to press on. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.